Hey everyone, welcome to Experience Ministries Discipleship Podcast, where we share biblical principles to help you live your faith. I'm Dave.
And I'm Angie.
Most of what we share are things we wish we knew sooner in our spiritual journey, and we're praying the Holy Spirit uses these principles to help you grow. This is episode 3, and we're talking about the power of the tongue. Now, the tongue represents our ability to communicate and express ourselves. In our modern world, people write and read way more than they did in the biblical times. In biblical days, they just didn't have the technology that we do today. Sometimes maybe we forget that they didn't have computers and radios and phones and all that kind of stuff, but they didn't. And so it was much harder for them to write and to read. But they also couldn't just pick up a ballpoint pen and a pad of paper. They just didn't have access to that.
So that makes me think that perhaps back then that the people had better memories because they had to memorize everything. They couldn't just take notes and, oh, here, let me write down my shopping list. They had to remember everything.
Well, they didn't have shopping markets the way we do, too. So,
well, that's true.
Lots of things are different there.
I can't tell you how many times I hear people say, oh, I just have the worst memory. Oh, well, maybe we're not using our memory enough to keep it working.
Yeah, I mean, that could be because in biblical days, they would memorize the information that they needed, and then they would pass that down from generation to generation, and it's memorized stories, memorized information that you just need to pass down because there wasn't, the written language, it just wasn't developed the same. I mean, yes, there was written language, but it wasn't as common, it wasn't as used as it is today.
So the spoken word was very important.
It really was. And as we talk about the tongue or the spoken word, what we're really wanting to get at is the things that we say, what we say, how we say it, the tone with which we say it, what's underneath that, and what we really mean by it. Because the Bible is clear that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So when we're talking about the power of our tongue or our communication, it's really a much bigger concept than just the little tongue in our mouth. It's what we're communicating.
So what does the words and the things that we're speaking, what does that mean? What happens when we say things?
Well, the scripture tells us a lot of different things about the power of our tongue or the words that we say, right? So it tells us that the power of life and death is in our tongues. Our tongues, our mouth, has the ability to build up or to tear down. I mean, just think about what the scripture says. This is Proverbs 20 and 21. A man's belly shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth. With the increase of his lips, he shall be satisfied. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof.
So that was Proverbs 18, 20 and 21?
Yeah, Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. And really what we're getting at there is that when we speak something, we're going to eat the fruit of that just like the other person. And so if we are positive or negative, if we're saying positive things, then we're going to reap the benefit of that. It's sowing and reaping, really. I have two ears, so whatever I say, it's going to come back on me in my two ears, right?
And
if I'm speaking negative, critical, harsh things, then that's what I'm sowing, that's what I'm eating, or that's what I'm reaping in me, as well as doing damage to other relationships if I'm speaking negative, or building positive or building up or encouraging other people in relationships when I'm speaking positive.
So that makes me think about the concept of the words that we speak being food, whether for the good or the bad. And I think about, you know, the food that we eat, we either eat good food or bad food. If we consume a lot of sugar, then we're going to have, there's consequences for that. And the same thing with our words. If we are speaking and hearing positive words, we're going to reap the benefit of that. If we're speaking and hearing negative words, then we will reap the consequences of that.
Yeah, that is so true. So think about that in terms of what we're speaking, but also what we're hearing. And we live in a culture full of entertainment.
Yeah.
In any number of ways, either the shorts or the memes or the, you know, the shows that we watch, the music we listen to. What is coming in? What are those people speaking to us? Is it building us up or is it tearing us down? Is it bringing life or is it bringing death? And I know that you worked with our kids a lot in this area about speaking life and not death.
Oh, yes. This was something that I was very passionate about when our kids were little, because this was something that I really took to heart. And I just decided, well, I can let the power of my words as their mother build them up and fill them with life. And so I did a lot of speaking positive things to them, telling them who they are in Christ, so that they would, that is what would grow in them.
Right. I mean, just think about sometimes the negative things that children hear.
Oh, yeah.
Children get told stuff directly and indirectly. Sometimes they just overhear conversations, and it's so powerful to them when they hear a parent or somebody in authority that should love them say things like, they were a mistake, or I didn't want them, or they're a failure, they won't amount to anything.
Or go away, stop talking to me. Oh, one of the worst things you can do to your child is tell them, go away, stop talking to me, leave me alone. Because a lot of times, there's a lot communicated when there's silence.
Yeah, there's a rejection that takes place there, right?
Deep rejection to the child, feeling like, okay, they don't want me around.
Yeah, and there's a way to do that's a positive, right?
Yes.
So we can tell our children, I'm busy, just a minute.
Yeah.
I need you to be quiet for just a moment while I finish this, and then I'll come sit with you and we can talk. There's ways to do that without being harsh and negative to the child. But a child that hears those type of messages grows up into an adult, and then they tend to repeat those messages, and they tend to live out those messages like a self-fulfilling prophecy or a curse. And at some point, we'll talk about curses specifically, but you can see how that plays out. Now, if you change that and you say, but I'm going to bless the child, I'm going to bless the people in my life, and I'm going to speak positive to them, then, wow, we can encourage people to believe that they can do more than they think they can do, and then they strive to achieve that, and they actually accomplish more because somebody is speaking positive to them, somebody's encouraging them, somebody's telling them, you can do it.
Yes. The words that they were hearing said, the message was positive, and it was uplifting, and it was, you can. And it's amazing because there's so many famous people say they've won an award and they give their little speech. And so many of them say things like, it was my mom or it was my dad. They believed in me and they told me that I could do it and I believed them.
So just think about who it is in your life that speaks positive to you. What was the last positive thing that you heard? Did somebody tell you, I believe in you, you can do it, I love you? Or on the other side of that, did somebody speak negative? You can't do that. You're not good enough. I hate you. There's messages that are spoken to us that have the power of life and death, that have the ability to build us up or to tear us down. And that's really unfortunate because we shouldn't be using the power that we have in our tongue to tear people down. We should be using it to build people up. And James talks about this. I know James is one of your favorite books.
My favorite book in the Bible.
You love James. But James chapter 3, in verse 8 and following, he says, but the tongue can no one tame. No, we need the power of the Holy Spirit, right, to help us do this. He goes on and says, it is a restless evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless the Lord our Father, and wherewith we curse men who are made after the likeness of God. And so there is blessings and curses. There's, you know, positive and negative that come out of our mouth. And he talks about, you know, salt water and fresh water coming out of the same stream. How can that be? And yet it is with us.
I think that in our natural element, in our just if we don't stop and think about what we're saying and we just be blah, I think it is much easier to be negative than it is to be positive.
Well, unless you're just a positive person like me.
Oh, absolutely. But I think on average, the average person, it's much easier to be critical than it is to be on the positive side.
Yeah, I think that can be, but I wonder how much of that is a cultural influence, because we listen to the news and everything is negative.
Yeah.
We listen to the radio, everything is negative. We listen to people around us, and so many of them, unfortunately, are negative. So I wonder if some of that is just learned behavior, that we focus more on negative than positive, because I probably would agree with you. It is way more common to have that negative. But then when you hear somebody say something positive, it's like a blast of fresh air. It's like a ray of sunshine coming into our life. Somebody saying, I believe in you, you can do this, or you did a good job, or I'm proud of you, things like that. Man, it's like, it just builds you up.
It's uplifting. I really do think that there's a reason James says that we need the Holy Spirit. There's a reason it compares the tongue to a forest fire, because without the Holy Spirit, I think that that's what we need.
Yes.
To be better than our base self.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, the scripture does talk a lot about it, and just think about the variety of things that you've heard in your life, either positive or negative. And if there is a bunch of negative, you can overcome that.
You can
reject that. You can reject the rejection, right?
Yes.
And you can learn who you are in Christ, and you can overcome that. But as you're doing that, guard your mouth so that you don't speak those negatives. And this is a powerful thing in spiritual growth. I wish I would have known this and absorbed it more when I was younger, because I didn't really have a positive way of speaking for a long time. It took me a while to work that out, so I was speaking life and not being critical.
That reminds me of one of my top all-time favorite verses in the Bible. And it was King David speaking in Psalms, in Psalm 141:3. It says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips." That was King David. He was crying out to God, yeah, saying, "Lord, guard my mouth." And one of the things when I read that verse was, okay, how do I make that my prayer? That my mouth would have, a guard on my mouth, that I would speak life and not curses.
Well, let's hear it. Let's hear your prayer.
Well, this is my prayer. I've said this for years and years and years, and it goes like this. It says, "Lord, put a guard over my mouth that I will speak life and blessings and not curses in the name of Jesus." And I would get up every day I would say that out loud. Start my day out by saying that out loud, because I wanted the words coming out of my mouth to be a blessing to my family, to my husband, my children, to anybody I came in contact with. That's what I wanted to be.
Yeah, and God bless you for doing that, because sometimes we're not very intentional about changing these things about us, and
yeah,
we should be. And our tongue is something that we have to be very intentional about if we want to change this and speak life rather than speaking death. So our words, they can be negative. They can be outright sin. You can say some horrible, sinful things with your mouth. But our words can also ensnare us.
Ooh.
They can trap us.
That word ensnare makes me think about a little bunny rabbit caught in like a rope snare, and it's hanging by its foot, and it's hopping and jumping, and it's really not a good word picture for me. But how does that apply to us and our words?
But it really is a good word picture, because that's what the scripture's talking about. Remember, we're talking about biblical times, and they didn't run to the supermarket and grab a package of chicken or whatever that's all processed.
Yeah.
They caught their food. They hunted their food. They trapped their food. And so in the Bible, when it uses the term snare, that is what it's referring to, is a trap, except it's in the Bible, the trap and the pit and the snare are never really literal things. It's always kind of a metaphorical image for us. I wouldn't say every time, but the majority, the vast majority of times, it's talking about us being trapped by our words in this example and what that means. So it, you know, the little bunny in the trap isn't a pleasant picture in your mind.
No, not really.
A bear in a bear trap or things like that where they're trying to escape. And sometimes,
or the poor animal that chews its own leg off.
Yeah, exactly. And yet, that's the picture that the scripture wants us to get. So be careful of what you say or you will be ensnared. So think about Proverbs 6:2. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. And it talks about free yourself from that. And in this particular passage, it's talking about financial obligations when you commit to something. But it's a word. It's a commitment you make verbally. You're snared by your mouth. If you say you're going to do it, then you need to do it and free yourself of that because you're bound by it. So there's a lot in the scripture that talk about snares. You know, and that in the scripture, they take that very literal.
You know, that makes me think about some of the stories in the Old Testament. They're pretty gruesome. Can you think of any examples of that?
Yes, they are.
I mean, really, it's pretty gruesome times.
Like Judges chapter 11 talks about, if I say his name correctly, Japheth or Japheth. I think that's how he says it or pronounces it. But he was one of the judges, and he went out to battle, and he made a rash vow before the Lord saying that, if you give me victory, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out of my front door when I get home. And how horrible is this? The first thing that came out of his door was his daughter rejoicing that he came back.
His only child.
And he bound himself by this curse. Now, today, you and I would go, I'm not doing that. But we don't take those words as serious. They took that serious. He was bound by his words. And this is one of the horrible things in the scripture, but he eventually did sacrifice her.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, there's some Jewish tradition. You could research that, but it's just horrible. But also in the New Testament, we see that with the head of John the Baptist in Mark chapter 6, verses 23 through 28, it talks about Herodias's daughter, if I can say that right. She went before Herod on his birthday and danced for him and his dinner guests, and apparently she thrilled them so much that Herod came back and said, I'll give you up to half the kingdom. So she went and consulted with her mom, came back and said, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. Well, he didn't really want to do that. The word says that he was sorry that he said that, but he was bound by that. Because of his dinner guests and because of the power of his word. And so that's how John the Baptist got beheaded.
Yeah.
How horrible.
It's horrible.
So there is a seriousness about the words that we speak that in our modern culture, people don't seem to appreciate or understand, but it is there. So think about this passage in Proverbs 18, 6 and 7. It says, a fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calleth for stripes. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul.
Wow.
So we can say things rashly. We can make false vows or rash vows. We can commit ourselves with our words, and that can become a snare to us and really entangle us in things that we don't want to be entangled in. So watch what you say. It's powerful. The power of your words, they influence other people. They influence you and your own belief system. It is really important for us to understand the power of our words.
So if our words ensnare us, which we've already determined that they do, then what kind of accounting is there going to be? Because people say things all the time, and then they don't keep their word. What kind of accounting will there be for the words that we speak?
Do you really want me to tell you?
I do.
You probably won't like this.
I may not, but I'd really like to know.
Well, in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus talks a lot about this, and he basically says to us that we will be held accountable for every word that we speak, every rash word, every harsh word, every word that we speak. And then in Ephesians chapter 4, like 25 through 30, something right in there, Paul warns us to be careful of the words that we say. Not the silly joking, the crazy statements that we say, the horrible things that we say. We will be held accountable for every word that we say. And so, you know, I'm just kind of stammering over my words right now, thinking I'm talking a lot in this podcast. I'm going to be held accountable for every word I say.
Yeah, that is kind of sobering to think that I'm going to be held accountable for all those things that I've said that I probably shouldn't have said, or, you know, the harsh words, or a word spoken without thinking. Who hasn't spoken without thinking? And, you know, open mouth, insert foot. I've done that a lot. Yeah. I'm going to be held accountable for all that. And that's very, very thought-provoking.
It is very thought-provoking. So I just thank God that we have forgiveness, that we have grace, that we can be forgiven of those things. So if you have found that you have been a negative or critical person, or you've cursed someone, cursed yourself, that you've spoken negative, hurtful things, repent. Ask God for forgiveness, because this is our time when we can ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness from Him. And that's what I would encourage everybody to do, is to really think about the power of your words, and where necessary, repent, change, ask for forgiveness, change direction, and become a blessing to people rather than negative.
Yes.
So I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening today, for tuning into the podcast. Hopefully this was a little bit of blessing in your life, to know that the power of your words can really have an impact on you, on other people, but it's part of your spiritual growth. And if I would have known this more sooner in my younger life, I would have probably grown more. So I pray that this helps you, that it's a blessing to you. And I just want to say that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. If you're feeling the tug of the Holy Spirit on your life, know that He will empower you to accomplish what He's called you to do, even if you don't feel like it. You may have received a lot of rejection or negative words in your life. You don't have to stay there. You can overcome it, because there is forgiveness, there's redemption, and there's transformation and empowerment through the Lord Jesus. So thank you for joining today. God bless you.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. We really enjoyed this time with you. And do us a favor, don't forget to hit that subscribe button and help us out. And if you want to send us a question or a comment, we'd love to hear from you. You can find our email on our website at experienceordination.org. And we will talk to you next time.